I escape the party floor, stuffing the food into my maw. As a dream rat, I come and go as I please. I enter your thoughts, put you at ease. For you see, without us, the kingdom of bone would fall. It's amazing, really, us rats, so small. We created the structure of waking thought. Without us, all ambition is naught. My lord moans in agonized screams. We flow now, once again, into his dreams.
The rat watches in the distance. The sand collected is a pittance. As the rat pours it over the room, I hope it is my turn soon. I try to sleep, but oh, my eyes delight. The rat burrows into my dream sight. Through flesh and open minds, I am receptive to the ties that bind. It references a land in which I will have my just dues. I beg for it to take me thus, whether I win or lose. The rat smirks a toothy grin, looks at me, and then begins. Over yonder, in distant ages, its teeth burrow in, my brain flesh tasted by the rat's maw. I am devoured once more, digesting my very thoughts. This is what the dream rats were made to do, I was taught. Unto the world of dreams, as life rips apart at the seams. The world lay dying and its people rot. I beg for what I have and have not. Up is down and down is up. In this letter all I trust. Do not believe the truth they tell you, for it is altered and demons can't smell you. I step lightly into hell as I relinquish my reaper's bell. For you I will not be told, since I am born again in heaven's fold. The fairies are delighted, for they too know I have been knighted.
In his agonized state, he screamed at the sunlight of his fate. This was a land of perpetual day, of burning heat, buildings of clay. The never night would never come. Blood was bled from the Lord of Dreams. His siblings had won. No god had abstained. The land was theirs. All of it they obtained. Night had enveloped the land. A sleepless world none could stand. Knights drew swords upon their brothers. This was no land for lovers. Man and wife standing apart on the edge of each other's knife. This was nothing but a land of chaos, one born of strife. Eyes darken across an empty land. A sleepless world as we lock hands. Time was simpler then, visions of a future I could not portend. The red sun hid behind the moon as the knights marched eastward to their doom. Fields of green and an empty valley, dead would litter the floor, none could tally. They came in two by two, blood-red scythes like hands askew.
I sit upon my throne of polished black marble, giving knights orders, my voice a garble. The white marble floor polished to perfection. In my pristine kingdom here, there can be no election. Few call me a tyrant, the ones that do disappear. I wonder if anything can be so clear. I am my kingdom's brightest wolf, my blackened armor, my chain coif. I strut down the red carpet, I only see what I wish, as the cook brings out my latest dish. I have my wife sample it, for if it is poison she can spit. My ruthless efficiency, no one can depend on me. I am he which no sword strikes, the heads of my enemies rot on spikes. Few can see the lonely king, trumpets sound over war's din. Califrax does not spit this day, I wish and hope and pray. I've seen the look in her eye, to me I know she does despise. My son grows older as I grow colder. I know one day I will have to scold her. I move between my son and wife, taking out my dart-lit knife. In my kingdom there can be no strife, a demon I call him as I take his life. Califrax in anger, she will not obey, I have no place for prisoners today. But my men, my puppets, do not move to aid me, they are ready to betray me. Throughout this ordeal one thing has kept me sane, my utterly incomprehensible disdain. You see, my son was too soft to rule in my stead, but his mother, for whom I have filled visions of red, will keep the empire alive long after I'm dead. I grow old and weak, no passion for the tithe, too much a coward to take my own life. I formulated a plan, you see, for the future of my realm. I will split the empire one last time, I shall wear my battle helm. As I dive into battle with my wife once more, knowing it will cost my life at war, I enter the forest of the lost to find out if it is worth the full cost. Lost, walking through the forest of the lost. In the forest of the lost, I am brought to my knees by the whistling of the birds and the humming of the bees. In the forest of the lost, I am thrown to my knees by the running of the wildebeests as one is shot and bleeds. In the forest of the lost, I lay outstretched upon fallen leaves as the hunter looms and I begin to see. In the forest of the lost, I am given to despair as the nature of man is once again laid bare. In the forest of the lost, I have lost myself as my son's body rots in hell. In the forest of the lost, I have found myself, the black knight coiling as I rebel. The ether tainted my boy, a demon spawn of which could hold no joy. At least that is what I believed. I wonder if Califrax would grant me the same reprieve.
13 lie bound in eternity. When the 12 came, they were freed. Lives were chained, pacts were made, the world would never be the same. A prophecy from Ormorod and Amaram, gods of harvest and famine.
Nightshade was fast, deadly, swift, as she strode about the rift. The Aether was a dimension of renown. She had heard all about that, all over town. Her daggers in hand, though she needed no weapon, would become her brand. As she marched upwards to the portal, she moved carefully, not slowly, like a turtle. She swam through its emerald hue, as she entered a land in which souls did spew. The very ground was made of souls, so too the buildings, trees, and holes. In fact, everything in this world was a see-through green, except the demons that she had seen. She backflipped over free as she began a killing spree. Her family dead in the war, she would slay them by the score, until she found out, in the place of Aeria, black-like droplets which moved, all the scarier. The ground became maggots. As she tried to move, she sank, trying to ignore what stank. She pulled herself out with a hook and began to read a nearby book. As the pages reflectively opened, she began to feel chosen. Knight of Shades, a title she bears, as the words echoed through her hair. One of 12 she would be, a pact among her spree. New name Luxor, Luxor Castenbury, the demon echoed, just like me. Anyone who could read the words would share their soul with this accursed, a demon that spewed forth foul words. Written in the book, it forged pacts with mortals who had entered through one of its portals. Those with this power could be as gods, but their pride would usually require little prods. He hated them all, but not her. Nightshade was different, unusual, undeterred. When the 12 would reunite, there would be no more days left, only nights. As they gave in for endless fights.
Mordecai had once argued with the Zakurd. Stay away from the mortals unbound, my voice will not go unheard. The Zakurd had of course left, but as we know, the unbound made pacts in secrets inside the ethereal cleft. Nightshade may have been the first, but she was by no means the worst. That title would go to Clavis Alucard, who, like the original man, Sundari Ashavale, would make a race of his own that was tough, hard. These vampires, as they were later known, thrived even after the Unbound were eventually overthrown.
The world was lifeless in the beginning. At that time, the Unbound believed they were winning. There was only absolute darkness until Shairi the Unbound created a shard. It spewed forth a new life that was brittle and hard. The shardling's crystal skin, aphanite crystals locked within, until the Unbound moored from clay, a replacement to this life, Morgana would say. Yours is inferior, a relic. Mine can create life from the tree. Test the Scala, shall see. But a Scala refused, knowing the havoc it would be. until she died and Sundari destroyed half the World Tree. It fell into the Sea of Souls, soaking up the ether, creating life, making worlds holes. Sundari relented, sensing their lie. He cast himself from heaven, but did not die. He lay now beneath the abyss, mocking and jeering the unbound and taking the piss.
The abyss is an interdimensional plane, both simultaneously above and below. It could drive you insane. The heavens themselves are an astral realm, bright lights beckoning, warriors in helm. The list of the astrali, or angels as they are known, is a peculiar thing to which many have flown. The lights of the astral realm yet dormant lie, in unreasoning darkness as Shairi the Unbound die. An explosion of light from demon's corpse let forth light, as her body reanimated, convulsing, a final fight. Millions of astrali were born, light from dark was then torn, creating a celestial plane, a living world of light in her veins. Her corpse was the astral realm, you see, darkness would always return to light, as she could be. Demons grew tired of the astrali, herding them like cattle, and so created the ether to do battle. A realm compromised of souls like sea, it created an endless army. Each blade of grass was a see-through green, the color of souls to the Kaplavan, as it is seen. The buildings, the creatures, and even the sky, this realm, the astrali, would come to die. Okay, so I had an idea. This doesn't count, I swear. It's the last one. Interweaving branches click as they connect each branch thick. With many leaves, each containing worlds. There was one as black as night and rarer than a pearl. Genera it was named, and the star shot straight through that leaf. As another world, Castine, stole the galaxy's leaf's essence, much like a thief. Energy flowed between the stalks as a new world, Necropolis, unfurled. Back in the present day, Calafrax had led the Menavir to slay. To kill the beast that killed her son, she would not stop till the day was won. Her speech was just so. For each head you collect, 50 gold a go. None but monsters still serve that thing. For each we slay, my blood does sing. Kill their men and their women, but their children are to be left to cling. It will be a brighter, more bloody day. I am Calafrax, your blood queen. This I say. The Anavale flew high above the mountain. Calaflax stood in her battle armor by a fountain. It bore the crest of a dove. All her people talked of how she'd slain her love. That none said he was a twisted man, had actually been a part of her plan. None would serve a woman alone these days. She had to make herself imposing in the sun's rays. Stepping into the light, dripping with blood, gave all the diplomats quite the fright. They whispered about her from kingdom to kingdom, the savage queen that would not grant her people their freedom. Under her rule, women were granted status of knight, but to the men of Baraglow, this was not right. They sent many a man with great steed to march on Calafrax's kingdom with equal speed. Four 4,000 boots walked on a muddy ground, setting 8,000 campfires, paying villagers by the mound. Calafrax liked psychological value of war. She played loud drums each day, night and more. She had allowed Sir Tancrin to believe he was surrounded, lighting fires, placing dummies, most lies were unfounded. But Tancrin had grown wary crossing the river, sacrificing his men's lives was not the satisfaction he would give her. He had begun to turn around when Lord Durin had found men killed silently by poisons and such. His brother was among them, and it left him out of touch. They marched, or rather barreled forwards, falling into traps, killed by ambush from underground units in chorus. Bodies were strewn about the floor. As Califrax removed Tankerin's jaw, she would spare him and allow him to join her army. But the Blood Queen had a reputation. She wasn't balmy. She had him ripped open by stringing him up to opposing running horses, and had him mailed back to the king, stating that she foresaw this. More men of Baraglow would come, but Califrax had one battle that was left unwon. She had left, or more accurately fled, towards her tent, thinking of her son as she began to vent. When the young scout Dariel Torson had entered her tent, she saw her son. Seeing this made her weep. The illusion was dispelled as souls from the man began to seep. She drew her axe and shouted for the guards to help her in this fix. Aeon Dime now employed monsters and sorcerous tricks. At the time he had accused her subtlety as a woman's weapon. This was even more an unhonorable deception, which in the court of 13 would grant him little to no protection. Anandine shuffled in his chair, stroked his beard and long brown hair. He knew she hadn't lied, but the fact Califrax was his enemy, he fought to swallow his pride. Know not of what you speak. I am a true king, and magic is for the weak. Califrax hadn't believed a word until she saw with her own eyes this occurred, and walked away from the camp. What was this then, she thought, as she continued to walk up the king's ramp. This occurred had led the way, while the sergeants had taken their forms out to put on a play. Suddenly the very air itself had become heavy, as Nasargis, looking like Anandine, had ordered a massive levy. Califrax had entered the fight of her life, fighting for her enemies with steel sword and knife. Anandine shouted, the demons are in the very floor, as Teeth threatened to swallow them once more. Wolves with blackened armored skin, metallic tails, silver claws, red eyes burrowing, had begun to overrun them, each sword blow only causing temporary dispersal. As they evaporated into smoke, appearing behind you, a reversal. Many a man was dead. The Lady Knights fought valiantly, but all seemed lost until they gleamed. The emerald necklace hanging from the tree. It bore power to banish them back, you see. But it was not without drawbacks. Calavrek's once beautiful face, now lined with age and wrinkles. The power of the amulet had stolen her youth in sprinkles, and would continue to do so as she drove off attacks. For many a year, it was her alone that held the demons' backs. Breaking the siege of Hask, she would only live till 30, but her people would never have asked. Polarity shifted upon the red sand. The vizier held out his right hand.
And we can be rid of that woman. She will be gone from my lord's plan.
The walls ran red with the blood of men, women, children dying in a flood. Califrax had used the gem to discover demons planted it. Then she paused without realizing her folly. She'd grown old. Be used as a catalyst to free this fold. The tentacle snake-headed demon winced as Califrax became convinced she must kill the core. We know now this failed, but what of before? Upon gaining entrance, you see, it was revealed to be the vizier's devilry. Zerkides died in his bed. His wife held on to his severed head. Califrax was impaled from various sides. It's said that she shed a single tear as the last nation, Hask, had died. Hask was where Calafrax had died, and whose secrets I now confide. Hask was the jewel of the Arabian desert, and rendered the most fortresses inert. After the dissolution of the five great empires, the Atalis Alliance was now the largest powerhouse in the Eastern Spire. The exalted Emperor Xerxes VIII was presiding over the meeting, watching those in his lands dance, frolic, while he was eating. He let the body fall numb, bleeding, as he coldly ticked off things that were depleting. Hasky said, as 350 feet walls of impenetrable destructibility, and nothing Calafrax had warned would make sense to a man of his ability. But sure enough, the demons came, for no walls could hold them, no lions masters could tame. Though it was those close to Xerxes that were his downfall. Demons had spun tales, poisoned their minds, used them as tools. Demonic pollen fell through the prison cell, as a small river of blood flowed to the man's cell. His blonde hair stained with blood, young delicate features marred by war, he wore a chainmail hood. He could hear them chanting his name, even blacking out, preparing to meet another of the slain. The demons owned this world now. Demonic pollen would fall again. Oh yes, Selfort. It was just a question of when. He knew only the strong could live in this world. The young, lame, old had been taken away. Most unchivalrous. They were left like pearls. Two axe demons had appeared. Zell walked out, eyes open, one was red and kind of weird. The other eye was a deep bright gold. Something about Zell's smirk was quite cold. The demons brought him, bound but cool, out before the demonic Lazul. Lazul had said that once there were knights, fire and wine, people had honour, and they had rights. The story has stayed with Zell. Sometimes honour was the best he could yell. Chivalry, a code in a dark world. People were killing each other themselves. Demons, as bad as they were part of a plan that had unfurled. Zell had looked Lazul in the eye, told the creature that one day he would die. Zell had once heard a prophecy that over stormy and distant sea, the bright wolf would be the key there, a light in the darkness of a world unfair. Of course, all had forgotten the past 400 years, and so the mad king's ancestor was a slave like his peers. The demon overlords fought night and day, for souls were now a very lucrative trade. Grimolza, once thin and known for their speed, had had so many a soul that they became fat indeed. Zell was thrown into the arena then, to fight the red-headed woman they called Wren. As he saw her face, it was an older woman who had one scar over her eye. He knew she was once pretty, but the time did pass her by. He let her go for her weapon as he went to his own. Never did his eyes leave the girl, they were deadlocked, like stone. As they announced the fight had begun, Wren's name changed to Calafrax, Cursed One. Keeping his blade high, he attacked the undead creature's side. Her axe came down as time he tried to bide. He sought an opening in the assault of her axe, but each weakness he sought collapsed like the facts. Backtracking the past 10 years, Calafrax's soul had entered Trapeze, a real unlife, Within the ether, she became a ravager with one goal. The amulet had trapped her soul. You see, Nasajus' trick was to grant a temporary peace. Her soul could not then be released. As the axe came down again, the flesh of Zell was ripped and rend. Blood splurted across the arena floor, the sand choked beneath. As the cursed soul was faster than even he, zombified, and it beggared his belief. He rose to his feet, one final push, his blade ring, with one almighty swing. Califlax had seemed to miss on cue, the last of her will spent to skew. Red Sun had moved again, the demon world of Kestheim fought to defend. When a small creature burrowed from the floor, the rat's last message of dead Morakai brought her forth. Entering the amulet of the dream, Rat had done. Knowing now that the day was won, Caliphrax had kept roaring in anger and pain, killing all the demons after Zell was left bleeding on the floor and nearly slain. The karmic cup was full, as blood began to dry, left alone. The baby had sobbed in the corner, as the woman left tears, knowing she would not mourn her. But fire had held the baby to the sun. Caliphrax she named her, for the day was won. Astralai had warned her twice. The third time she was greeted by mice, or more appropriately rats. Dream shapers had come to her heel, and they wouldn't be cowed by cats. Caliphrax had wonder in her eyes, connected to the Lord of Dreams' lies. Her mother had later fled that night, for the eyes of the child glowed far too bright. She knew that one day she would have died, when the fire wouldn't be by her side. Sequentially, the rats had unlocked Caliphrax's mind. They made her undertake new, old, and made-up memories as her thoughts they bind. Slowly undead flesh would mend. The rats grew grey dead flesh to this end. The last dream was about to die. Bright sparks flared again in Caliphrax's eye. Something happened. Her youth appeared once more. Rat-like dreams filled her, the galaxy's regal jaw. Planets and stars cascade within her. And a flood of power had stirred with a blur. Light had flickered once more within, as she strode to where towards the mortal where she began. She propped up the man upon her back, told him if he die here there were none left to pick up his slack. Dragging Zell across the orange floor, Caliphrax had made her way to the etheric door. They would make their way towards the ether, just Caliphrax and the wounded man with her. The doorway of souls had opened wide, as Zell's wound she did then bide, crossing the soul path into the ether and etheric bath. She felt her strength flee, but continued down the path with glee. Zell had finally reached for his sword. Caliphrax gave no sign of emotion. She walked on board. They saw by the other gate a fat, bulbous demon named Grimolza as it cursed its fate.